The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service by the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. Now, here's today's show.
Hey, welcome, nonprofit community. You're back, and I'm so excited that you're here to listen to a beautiful Stacy Watson from Achieve PBC. She has come here all the way from Buffalo, New York, but we are lucky to have her here now to talk about Achieve. And I really first want to thank Spirit of Giving Network for always being there to sponsor this wonderful radio show so that we can really learn about what's good happening in our community, what's going on, and what are these nonprofits doing that maybe we can connect with and volunteer or donate or just learn more about so we can make our community a better place to live. And that's what Stacy does every day. And again, thank you for sharing and coming. And I want to know about, I love the name, Achieve PBC. So what brought you down here from Buffalo for this job? Executive director, mind you, of Achieve.
Well, thanks so much, Kara. Yes. I'm so fortunate to be here and share with you the information around Achieve, because what it is truly about a whole community coming together. Mm-hmm. And this started long before I came. There were organizations who came together and looked at the data around post-secondary education. So what are children?
Which is what?
What are children do after high school?
Where do they go?
And so when you look at the economic side of things, we hear from business owners all of the time that they cannot find a skilled workforce. And then we hear from people, we cannot find sustainable jobs, jobs that actually sustain our family. And so there's a disconnect there. And the disconnect really sits in the house of post-secondary education. So what that looks like can be college, it can be the trades, it can be, you know, an apprenticeship program, it can also be the military. I mean, there's a lot of options. But right now in Palm Beach County, around 40% of our students complete post-secondary education within 6 years.
That's it. 40%.
Yes. And even though our school district is incredible with our graduation rate, and they are a wonderful supporter in Achieve, we have to make sure that our kids get to the next step. And so this community came together, and there were 11 funding organizations that started talking about how do we collectively work towards a solution. And those funding organizations really came strong out of the gate about 2 years ago. And it was the Ferris Foundation, the Community Foundation, the Florida Philanthropic Network, the United Way of Palm Beach County. We were looking at Johnson Scholarship Foundation, the Pew Foundation, University of Southern Florida, Children's Services Council, Youth Services Department, all of these people coming together. And then Wells Fargo also joined in the group and discussed how do we make a difference? How do we make a difference in this for the future? And so nationally, there's a movement, the National College Access Network. And in Florida, there's a movement, the Florida College Access Network. So what this community decided to do was create a local college access network, thus Achieve Palm Beach County. So when we think about the continuum of work happening from birth through 22, which is a massive effort in this county, we are the post-secondary arm of that. Our main focus is moving our children from high school into post-secondary opportunities and them successfully completing. So that's what we do, and we do it with 50-plus partners. We have over 150 people involved in this collective. And even before I got here, there was a strategy around four main areas we wanted to influence. And so we have action teams called strategy teams that are the four main areas we want to influence.
You know, I'm just wondering, are you in Palm Beach County schools such like a guidance counselor, a senior teacher of mathematics, for example? who might have a student that fits into this situation where they don't have parental support, let's say, or a family that doesn't know anything about going to college, where they could say, you know what, you need to get to achieve, and from there they're going to raise you up to the next step, because there's so many kids in the system and school that don't have that next step support. And where to go? Because it seems like if you don't just go to college when you graduate from high school, and getting to college today is not so easy. Even in community colleges, you have to have a grade point average that's acceptable to get in. You have to have funding, to get into a state college today. You used to be able maybe to have a C average or a C plus or low B, but now even that, it's so. The word is I'm looking for is competitive, mm-hmm. to even get into college. And who's to say in 4 years that's really what you wanted to do? It seems to me that there needs to be, as you said, that vocational piece. Not everybody's college bound, but there's so many jobs out there that need that a vocation,
yes.
training,
yes.
car mechanic, plumbing, air conditioning, engineering. There's so many great field plumbing to go into. That we need, to somehow get that message across too, that there are other choices and how to do it. And that's what sounds like you do.
Yes. So
that was a mouthful.
Well, what we do is a mouthful. I mean, we're looking at the future of our world.
Yes.
So
yeah,
it is big. I mean, and what we want is for our children to inherit a country that can compete in a global market. And if they're not trained to, if they don't have the knowledge to, then what we're doing is limiting ourselves as a county, as a state, as a country. And so our four strategy teams really plug in on a systemic level some of the issues that become both opportunities and barriers for students getting into high school or into college or trades programs or the military. And so the first of our four teams is a parent and family engagement team. Now, one of the beautiful things about this network of people is that they're coming from really a strong cross sector. So we have educators, we have business people, we have nonprofit people, we have social workers. I mean, it really is a cross section of our community. And the parent and family engagement team is led by a representative from FAU and a representative from FPL and a reverend together. And so what they're looking at is how do we get the information deeper into our community? So if you go to our website, which is achievepbc.org, then you'll find there's one page parent checklist for every grade from middle school through college that condense all of that massive information into one checklist that a parent can download. We have it in four languages on the website. So a parent can just say, okay, am I on track with my eighth grader? Am I on track with my ninth grader? And if not, what's next? So the first step is parent and family engagement and real, thoughtful, intentional parent and family engagement. Thursday night, we're hosting a parent and family engagement meeting at the Salvation Army in the Northwest neighborhood. And we're doing that at 6:30 in the evening because that's when parents could actually attend.
And how many people do you think will be there? How many
parents? I'm not certain. This is the first time that it's been moved out into the community. Our parent and family engagement team has about 15 members representing all these cross sectors. But it will be really interesting to see,
yes.
once we move it into a space that is accessible for parents, how many parents start to engage. And we want to continue to grow that reach. And so we start there because that's the foundation for our children, their family of origin, their parents, their guardians. We need to celebrate those people who are actually taking care of our children. And then we look into high school advising. And we have a high school advising team that, again, has cross-sector representatives. But the high school advising team is focusing on the things that could both systemically and personally help a child succeed. So when we're looking at systemically, we're looking at this wonderful resource of Khan Academy. Khan Academy is available to every single school district of Palm Beach County student, yet many students don't use it. And many parents even don't know that there's a parent login. So we have Khan Academy. Florida offers My Career Shines, which does career assessments. And we also have the ability to do mobile FAFSA this year. So, the United States Department of Education is actually releasing a mobile FAFSA. So what the high school advising team seeks to do is how do we systemically share that information more clearly, but also how do we bring it into the grassroots community to make sure that information is shared, the organizations are trained, that everybody's on the same page with that these are the resources available to our children. So out of the high school advising team came the Achieve Palm Beach County Summer Collegiate Institute. So in this county, there are so many smaller organizations, smaller and large organizations that are doing college leadership prep, and college success work. So 11 of those organizations came together, including Achieve. And at Palm Beach Atlantic University, we just hosted the first ever pilot program, which was the Achieve Palm Beach County Summer Collegiate Institute, where 30 students from all over the county received no cost a week on a college campus, all of the resources they need to work on their SAT, tons of interpersonal leadership training. And we had the president of the Bank of Belgrade come and speak. We had the president of Palm Beach Atlantic University come speak. And then we had the head of mentoring for the United Way of Palm Beach County. I really digging in with our children. And the success that we saw at the end of that week was incredible. The children are ready to move forward.
They're on fire.
They're on fire. And of the organizations has agreed to not just, hey, here's this camp, but we're going to follow you through this process. And so it's not just, hey, let's engage for this week. It's no, now we're all going to work on this together. Take Stock in Children offered for all of the juniors that they can all apply for Take Stock in Children. So it's amazing when a community comes together and says, wait, we have all the resources we need. We just need a space for it to be facilitated together. And thankfully, there's a model for that.
So where did these 30, how did you pick those 30 students? And what were their thoughts at the end? Like, did you see like how they came in and how did they leave?
So the 30 students, the organizations that planned this event have been meeting every week for 3 hours a week since February. And those organizations each agreed to keep autonomy. They made one agreement. The students had to have a 2.5. And the reason for that was that we did not want to set anybody up with expectations that couldn't be fulfilled. So the agreement was 2.5 GPA, juniors or seniors. They broke it up evenly, male and female. And the organizations reached out deep into the schools where they work. So an organization like Path to College, which is at Lake Worth, Christine Sylvain, who runs that organization, reached really deep into her school to identify students. We had Suits for Seniors run by Gervonta Edmonds. He reached deep into the schools. Rico Scholarship Foundation, Johnson Scholarship Foundation, Take Stock. All of these organizations really looked deep within the schools. I think about College Path, which is another one of the organizations, and their executive director making sure that she has students that could be on track to Ivy League schools, but without intervention won't be. It's incredible when you see organizations reaching deep into their schools and saying, who are our children that we can support together, collectively? And they did a phenomenal job. These students were just outstanding.
Wow. That is just brilliant. And you know, we don't hear about these things. We really don't know that this is going on. And yet, look at what you just told us. The magnitude of these organizations that are working in the schools to build these kids up. And I assume that, let's say those 30, then they're going to talk about it and they're with their friends about doing better, and maybe they'd have an opportunity to become a part of this next year.
Exactly.
Right? The chatter, the talk.
They were already talking about students that want to come back. next year. Yeah. And so one of the beautiful things, so Collective Impact is actually a model out of Stanford. There was an article published in the Stanford Social Innovation Review in 2011, which outlined some basic tenets for Collective Impact. And it has evolved since that time. But really what it means is that a community has come together with a shared vision, a shared goal, common interest, that we've agreed to have shared measurement systems, that we've agreed to do mutually reinforcing activities, that we've agreed to have continuous communication with each other and open communication. So sometimes with organization, there's conflict, and that's okay in this framework. In this framework, we're adults, so that means we work through that conflict for the greater good. And then we have a backbone organization, and we're so blessed that the United Way of Palm Beach County is serving as our backbone organization. Mm-hmm. It's a true statement to what this means for the future. And then when we think about our two other teams, so we move out of those two teams, we have a FAFSA team focused just on helping parents and students with FAFSA, and we also have a post-secondary support team. So how are we supporting those kids once they get to college?
So amazing. Keep that thought. Hang on to it.
Okay.
We're going to come right back in just a few seconds, so to speak. And we're going to come back to that question. Thank you so much, Stacey.
Thank you.
Hearing loss is a growing health issue among young adults and older Americans, with the condition today affecting more than 48 million people nationwide. Now is the time to preserve your hearing. That means limiting exposure to loud noises, using ear protection when attending sports events or music concerts, and following the 60-60 rule, which means limiting the use of earbud headphones to 60 minutes at a time and at 60% of the device's maximum volume. Talk to a hearing healthcare provider or your physician and schedule a hearing test. It's also important to discuss hearing loss with your family and seek treatment. Common signs include turning up the volume on the TV or radio to the level that others find too loud, having trouble hearing people on the phone, or difficulty with following conversations in noisy environments. Hearing loss can affect your ability to stay connected to friends and family, contributing to social isolation, lower earnings, depression, dementia, and higher risk of falls. For more information about hearing loss and other ways to improve your health as you age, go to www.hearingloss.org. This has been a public service message from the Hearing Loss Association of America, High Health Innovations, and the station.
Hi, welcome back, nonprofit community. Thanks for hanging in there. I sure am. I'm on the edge of my seat because I love this information. It's raising up our kids and getting them to the next step in life. And thank you, Stacey Watson, and Achieve, and all your partners, for recognizing that once they get out of high school, that's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning.
And we do have, our economy is doing well, and we do have jobs, and they need to be trained to fill them.
Exactly. The Florida Chamber of Commerce estimates that by 2030, 75% of our current jobs will be automated. And that doesn't mean that the jobs won't exist. They'll just look very different. So we need our children to be prepared for that move and prepared for whatever the future gives them. And so as we think about Achieve, one of the things we have to be hyper aware of are finances. So the Helios Foundation did a poll where they wanted to see what people thought the biggest hurdle for college was. And most people said money. So most people said that the student debt fear is why some people may avoid college. And although that might have been true in my time of going to school, the lending practices have become really strict and much more, we have banks like Wells Fargo that are really committed, and Bank of America to financial literacy. So when we think about our students and finances, should never be a reason why they don't go to school. There are scholarships, there are grants, there are ways to go to school if that's what you want without incurring ridiculous amounts of student debt. And so what we want to do is make sure that through our FAFSA team that across the county we are sharing with parents both the ups and downs of doing the FAFSA form. It can be an intimidating form. Luckily, we have friends at our local colleges and universities that walk us through that process, and we want to deploy now out into the community and support parents where they are, in their churches, in their community centers, in completing that FAFSA form. And so we don't want finances to be what stops a talented young child from going into college. We don't want the fear of having to buy their tools be what stops somebody from going into an apprenticeship. And then we think about our post-secondary education. So as we were talking right before we went to break, once students get to college, it is important that they retain. What we want to do is make sure that when students get into that space, they finish. And what can we do to support them through that? So best practice shows that around $485 can be the determination of if a low-income student drops out of college. So if you have an emergency, so you need glasses, you need a tooth pulled, you need to pay your daycare, your tire blows, your engine blows, something really that people with means may look at as an easy fix, could cause a student to miss class, then they miss work, then maybe they miss class again, and then maybe miss work, and it can lead very quickly to a student dropping out. So Achieve Palm Beach County, in partnership with the Children's Service Council, Youth Services Division, offering support, we have started the SURF Fund, which is Student Urgent Relief Fund. And
like a safety net.
It's a safety net.
And we'll be SURF.
SURF. And so Student Urgent Relief. I mean, we are in Palm Beach County. So and so what we'll be doing is piloting that at Palm Beach State College, where students will be able to apply if they are in need for urgent relief for something that could inhibit them. So right now we're finalizing how we do that, how that fund is administered. That's not all in ink yet. But we are beginning to build that fund. And we hope to have it running smoothly, as they do the United Way. The Heart of Florida United Way has a fund very similar that they run through Seminole State. And so we're learning from them, and we hope to have this running smoothly within this school year.
And it sounds like a great buy-in, like, you know, for somebody who's philanthropic and maybe wants to adopt a program where they really feel that their dollars would impact the future. To me, SURF sounds like a good place to look into our future and supporting our future.
Yes. So with Achieve Palm Beach County, there's so many ways that donors that really want to see impact can get involved. This collective decided earlier this year that what they would like is to see Achieve be able to serve as a grant maker for some of our smaller organizations that are doing successful college access work. So we need to build up support for that. We need to, of course, have operational funds so that this very small, we have a very lean team. Yeah. It's me and two other people.
You are in a great example of a nonprofit.
Yes.
You do everything with three people.
and so, you know, there's operational support, there's support for the teams doing their work. And so what I would like to see is that every single team, the parent engagement, the FAFSA, the high school advising, as well as the post-secondary support team, that each of those teams has the funds they need to execute the programs they want to execute. And then also looking at our data and communication support. So there's a place for somebody with any interest to plug in to Achieve Palm Beach County, and somebody with any expertise. We did a wonderful, our communications team walked us through a website process with IdeaBar, and members of the communication team that work in three other agencies learned how to update our website for us.
Wow.
So it's a collective.
Yeah.
It's teamwork. And, you know, it my teams prior to living here would always laugh because I sound sort of corny when I'm like, teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah.
But it does.
and you get so much more done, and you just get rid of your ego and say, yes. Okay, you know what? I cannot do everything.
And I cannot do it alone.
And I can't do it alone. And we'll get so much more done. And isn't that smart?
And we'll get so much more done
to help
streamlining the funding that is supporting getting so much more done and accomplished, and also building true community. When I saw the organizations that, because they're so embedded in their work, never get to really share, And then when, as they were planning the Summer Collegiate Institute, they became like a family, and they're sharing their best practices. They're sharing what works for them. They're sharing students, saying, oh, I have this student that might be perfect for you. And that's the sort of village it takes. And so it sounds so elementary to say it takes a village, but it's really the key lesson of this. We have everything we need in this county to see that all of our students have a chance and a choice for post-secondary education. And what Achieve Palm Beach County seeks to do is bring all of those players together, making decisions together to enact that for our children.
Do you ever go into the school? Dates me. We used to have assemblies when, you know, you'd get together at one class or another, and you come in and speak to the juniors at XYZ high school and give them literature and make them aware about your organization so that they can plug in or take it home to their parents. Mm-hmm. Does that ever happen? Or is that, again, with your lean three person office? But I could just see, like, oh, I hate to think that there's kids missing out and not knowing about the work that you do.
Well, we're certainly available to do that. And we also like to highlight our partners doing that.
Yes.
So there's people already in the schools doing that. Yeah. But of course, we're open to sharing our work and giving presentations and making sure that our children know that this is happening.
Great. Thank you, Stacy.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. I want to just wish you well in all the hard work that you do and coming up school year. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're
Achieve
welcome.
PBC.
Call 561-375-6652.
You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service of the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. And tune in again next week for the Forum for Nonprofits. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.